God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and ruin their gone.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Welcome, dreaming pilgrims from the land of things and senses probing, probing like a tongue, searching out a wounded tooth and finding no mystery there. Simply the pain that attends life informs us that we are alive or think ourselves to be. Today is the day that some of us celebrate the birth of the light which manifested in Jesus Christ. At some point in time that has not been determined as yet, and in a personage that is shrouded in mystery, which allows crafty self-appointed experts to tell us what he was like and add whatever details suit whatever agenda they have in mind, whatever that may be, it bodes no good for the rest of us. Yes, today we celebrate the resurrection of the light and the return of the Sun King. Here comes the Sun King. Yeah. The obvious place of residence for the Sun King is in the heart. I suspect that the self-styled experts might think that residence was located in the solar plexus. It is not, and is not resident in the ordinary heart either. Rosicrucians have a saying, may the roses bloom on your cross. One can intuit what this seems to mean. May your suffering bear fruit in this world. This harkens back to the talents given to the three men in the Bible and what each of them did with them. We are in this world, but we seldom realize that in a meaningful way. We do not make the connection between our residence here and points onward. This accounts for our inconsistent behavior and wavering determination. Provided that we have any determination for things of the Spirit, it doesn't seem to occur to a lot of people that everything you say and do down here has consequences and implications. This is the power of the dream. It surrounds us and it permeates us. It affects our thinking and feeling and magnetizes us to the glittering temporary forms of dust that are everywhere to be seen. This composes our reality, even though it is not real. That which we call Jesus Christ and do not actually understand, because full comprehension is not possible, represents the luminous, awakened, and eternal self which abides in all of us. It translates into every language. It is adaptable and expressive in every culture in some way, to call attention to itself because there is nothing more important. How is it that this single impertinent truth has not taken supremacy in our hearts and minds? This is something to think about while you still have time. Now, I see God in all of the expressions of God, as they are accepted as real by the people worshiping them. To me, the quality of the heart of a true follower of Islam is the same as that in the heart of a true Christian, Hindu, or even Buddhist. I have no problems with this and see no conflicts in the comparative doctrines. It's easy for me to acknowledge Ganesha and see the relevance of how he is presented with his elephant's head while also knowing what he stands for and what his titles and duties are. I have no problem with Jesus Christ walking on the water, raising the dead, or rising from the dead, or doing anything. The powers of divinity are unlimited. There is nothing that the divine cannot accomplish at any time or in any place. This is something that all of us should accept without question or argument. That is, if you wish to profit from the limitless capacity of the divine. People often turn to God when they are in trouble or when they are suddenly made aware of the term of their life coming to a close. Seldom do people daily celebrate the inexpressible beauty of God everywhere seen and unseen in all of the divine's possibilities of expression. It is our duty to make this real to ourselves so that it is more real than anything else, because as a point of fact, it most certainly is. The divine needs to be made the centerpiece of one's existence, equal to and comparable to nothing else. I am often drawn to the telling message that I have seen in the bearing of masters and saints. They are as humble as the dirt. They glow with an incandescent fire and have attained to states and stations beyond mortal ken. Yet they possess none of the arrogance and presumptions, much less the vanities and self-importance of so many of us who base our presumed status on some fake and insupportable image of ourselves. I cringe when I see people making a big deal of themselves, tripping through a Rolodex of false poses, which they mix and match depending on the demands of their self-interest. These holy men and women, these saints have seen something. They have experienced something, and they can never, never again assume any kind of personal importance. They have seen and they have experienced what is truly important. They know that the highest station they can attain to is that of a humble servant of the ineffable. Jesus Christ came here to teach us many things. He was also called the way shower because he came to show us the way. We were lost and now we are found. I can include myself in that collective, but I am not a Christian because I do not believe you can follow Jesus Christ and be a Christian at the same time. Not in any of the accepted traditional senses, because the established church forces you to compromise with the forces of evil. Many parts of the Bible have been subtly and not so subtly altered to serve the interests of those who use organized religion to control and manipulate people. That this is what takes place can be readily seen to anyone willing to open their eyes. The problem with opening your eyes is that a responsibility attends it. Most people do not want that responsibility because you can hear people crying then. You can see people suffering then. And you are compelled to become empathetic. You are compelled to rise to the call even at the risk of your position and your belongings, even at the risk of your life, which you will lose in any case, but not nearly so invaluably or effectively. It's easy for people to skate along and just assume that all their good fortune is well-deserved. They take it for granted. The fullness and vigor of youth whispers in our ears and tells us we are immortal. We believe in reckless disregard, and we behave in reckless disregard of certain basic rules of procedure. It's later that we have to pay the piper as the consequences of poor diet and indifference to exercise and deceptive activities that bring us low and make us hate ourselves in secret compartments of our being. We are our own judge and jury. The one we presume to act in that capacity is merely present for our own judgments of ourselves. When one is standing before what is euphemistically called the judgment throne, and the video scroll of our most recent life passes before our eyes, we see it all. We see it as it was. What we forget about in this life, while we are immersed in it, is that great strides can be made in very short periods of time. We come to a state of mind where we are reluctant to expend any more energy and effort in something invisible and seemingly at a far removed from us. It doesn't seem real or relevant by comparison with what we see around us every day and aspire to be and possess. There comes a time in people's lives, often defined as a midlife crisis, where they attempt to recapture their fading youth through ridiculous regressions into infantile states of being. It's at this very time that their hearts and minds should be turning to deeper things. Had they lived with the divine uppermost in their minds, their youth wouldn't have gone anywhere. It would have come right along with them, because the divine is ever young, and so are those in whom the divine resides. You get it all with the divine, everything you search for in this world, and ever so much, much more. You might have many trials and tribulations on the way. Christ spoke of this. We see those around us and at a distance who appear to have it all. This doesn't compute with the idea of justice and fair play, but we're not seeing things as they are. If you're skating through life without a care in the world, it's quite possible that God is paying no attention to you, since you're not paying any attention to God, probably, too, and considers you a lost cause for the purposes of that lifetime, and one must consider the drain on one's karma in respect of the next lifetime. There are some who have great material blessings and who were proper stewards of them and shared them out with a liberal hand. Those are rare birds, but they're around. As for the others, it might well have been better were they not so seemingly fortunate. One of the most important statements in the Bible is, "Those whom the Lord loveth, he chastens." This means that when life seems to have it in for you, it is refining you and preparing you for greater things. Wusses, wimps, and the self-indulgent need not apply and soon drop out once the road gets rocky anyway. I have been put through a motherload of trial and tribulation. Even recently, I had a bit of a standoff with the divine and demanded a transfer to a more understanding and compassionate deity. Well, I have that right. This resulted in a bit of back and forth between me and the master. The master was not pleased about my decision. After all, he's put a lot of work into me, and I'm kind of an investment. All of us are, as those of us that have a resident overseer. If you don't have one, you had better make some noise and get one, or at least push the envelope to the point where something gets said to you and you are acknowledged. That very day, I had made a decision about where I was going in September. I don't know anyone in that country, and I know someone or several someones in all of the other countries I had been considering. But suddenly, I knew instinctively that this is where I should be headed. A few hours later, an astrologer sent me a forecast which said that the location I picked was far and away better than any of the rest. At the end of my dialogue with my invisible friend, I was told to hold on and give him a chance and see what happens. I said, okay. And the very next day, I got an email from this country where I knew no one, and it came from one of the most remarkable people I have yet to meet, who said, hello, visible. Here is such and such a place finally calling. He knows the country backwards and forwards and also everything I need to know about everything I need to do there. The email was remarkable and got written very shortly after I had finished my conversation with the divine. I should also point out that I have never received any communications from this country before. There is no question what happened, and the difference between my going into this country knowing no one and knowing this person is huge, truly huge, also given how accomplished and intelligent this person is and how his interests are so remarkably similar to my own. What a trip. I have been through the ringer, and that is what I was engaged in a spirited dialogue with my master about. My take was that enough is enough, and my master agreed, and surprisingly, a lot of the usual hassles and interdimensional assaults have tapered off since. I've been told that a lot of things are going to get much, much better now for me. We'll see, but I bring up this personal side of the dynamic because what happens from the point of the divine at any time is very much dependent on what happens with us, by us, at every time along the course of our lives. We account for what happens to us by the measure of our faith and the speed by which we accommodate to what is required of us in order to be put into a position where we have been adjusted to receive. Never request something without also being asked to be transformed into something worthy to receive it. A lot can go wrong when you are given something you aren't capable of handling properly. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. Ask to be given that which the divine and its wisdom believes is appropriate to you, and you won't be disappointed. One of the reasons that I get tested in a certain way, which has receded, as I said, of late, these last several days, is due to a certain reservoir of anger that I have on tap based on some of the things I've been put through in the past. Of course, I have to let go of all of this because all of this has been for my greater good, and I'm working on it, but the cosmos is sneaky. It knows right where my buttons are, and it makes sure I'm topped up and ready to react before it pushes any of them. It's all an exercise, and it will end when the time comes. Because we are not ourselves capable of truly great love, we do not comprehend how the divine can have such a love for us. We don't see ourselves as we really are. This is a problem because what we really are is the same as that which we do not comprehend. If we are aspiring to an enduring relationship with that force, then it stands to reason that we'll be put through everything that is necessary to make that happen. Don't tell the Almighty you want to come into his presence unless you're willing to let go of everything that stands in the way of that. God plays for keeps. Today we recognize, those of us who are capable of it, the triumph of the light over all temporal darkness. The darkness put the vessel of light to death, and the light rose up from the dead, more powerful than all the forces that resist it. Now, whatever the truth may be about the life of Jesus Christ, the reality of Jesus Christ in terms of what he represents is real. However, the same story, however it has been portrayed and told, it is simply done for the convenience of the times in which it occurred so as to be understandable to those meant to witness and to hear about it. Some of us are too smart for our own good. We consider all these things fables, something that it is beneath us to believe in. We're all rational and well-informed. We know far too much for our own good, and a large portion of it is quite likely not even true. God is real. I'm not sure about anything else, but I'm sure of that. If you persist in seeking God, you will find God. That is a given. You can't concern yourself about how long it will take or what you might have to go through. It will be okay and far, far better than it would have been had you gone another way. Consider this simple exercise of logic. God possesses and owns everything. God is greater in power than all other powers gathered together. God not only owns everything, but can bestow any and all of them on you at any time and equip you to properly enjoy and appreciate them. That's a biggie. The divine can also determine what is best for you, when it is best for you, and protect you from things you think you want, but will be far, far better off without. This is one of the things about samskaras and personal delusions. Being under the spell of these things causes us to lack proper judgment. We lack proper judgment about what is good for us, and we quite often choose things that are very wrong for us. Mysterious laws accompany everything that does and does not happen to us. These laws remain a mystery to us only for so long as we remain a mystery to ourselves. There is a biblical quote that says, "At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow." This is because Jesus Christ represents liberation, and we all instinctively bow before the icon of our own freedom. Figure it out. We have to look more deeply into things because, especially when it pertains to Scripture and enduring wisdom, there are very often different interpretations. Some are deeper and some are more superficial, and both of them are true on whatever level, in respect of that level. Some people never go into the greater depths of the divinity, and some never return, having disappeared into them. Well, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, focus your mind on whichever personification of the divine speaks most deeply to you. That is the ticket to a more speedy and greater success. God is real. Evict all doubt from your mind and forbid it any entrance ever again. That said, hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Rise again, my brother, and truly, truly rise within each of us. Om Amitabha, Hare Krishna. Greetings, Lord Ganesha. Best wishes, Baha'u'llah, and La ilaha il Allahu. Aloha and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.